Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Thank you for hanging around with us. Bill Hubbard is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited about having him back on the show. This is like 5.5 years for him. He's been with me almost since the beginning, and he's our resident human resources expert. He's the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, also The Medical Privacy Rule, a guide for employers and healthcare providers. He's my good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here, and it's hard to believe it's been 5 years.
Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And I'm sure it's pretty much a dream come true for you, too, isn't it, Bill?
Well, that's true.
Yeah, you could be a little more emphatic about it than that. You can.
Where's that excitement I get, Manny?
Work with me here, Mr. Excitement. Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill, let's talk about training. I know that's an exciting topic. That'll blow their hair back, won't it?
Yes, it will.
But seriously, the thing that I hope, you know, and you and I have been talking about this for a while, this is a perfect time in the life of a business, literally this moment in business for most businesses, to invest a little bit in training, because if they're, you know, in the late 90s, remember when you and I were talking about training and everybody would say, I don't have time to train. We've got customers to wait on.
Right.
Well,
right.
If you don't have as many customers to wait on, and, you know, you're going to have these people when business really gets going again, this is a perfect time for training, isn't it?
It really is. There's so many places that it's kind of a sink or swim mentality. Get that employee, throw him on the job, and hope he gets it done. And then all of a sudden some kind of mistake blows up, and it's like we never had time to do this before. We never had time to schedule the training, but all of a sudden this big mistake pops up, and lo and behold, we got to do the whole darn job over again. And somehow we managed to find the time to do a job twice, but we didn't think we had the time to do the training, which would have prevented that mistake to begin with.
Right. Bill, I'm pretty much of a small business snob.
Okay.
I'm so proud of what we do and what we can do, and I'm pretty much of a snob about how much better we do things than our big business brothers do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being able to turn on a dime and make adjustments and just do amazing things. So that makes me kind of a small business snob.
Okay.
But there's one area that I really covet the big businesses on and that I really admire them for. I mean, there's many areas, but one in particular that they do a wonderful job of. And by contrast, small business owners typically do a horrible job, and that's training.
You're right. You hit the
nail
right.
If you go to work for a big company, you may not see a customer or your job for 2 weeks,
yep.
Maybe 6 weeks, maybe more. They'll train you within an inch of your life, won't they?
They really will. They have training departments, and they have training processes and procedures in place, and they recognize that it's very important to get that person, once they are on the job, functioning at 100%, and the way to do that is to give them a good orientation and a good training so they really understand the product, they understand the market, they understand the customers, and the employees. You just don't pick that up in a day. You really need to learn the company, the culture, and all of the issues that are about it, and the training is an important part of that whole process.
And then they'll put you out on the job after you've had some training and let you work for a few weeks or a few months, and then they'll put you back in some more training.
That's true.
And so you've got some ideas on how small business owners can fix this in their small business, can't you? Or don't you have?
Yes, I have. And one of the key things that I find is I'm an HR person, human resources, and one of the things that we do is we believe in and we develop and we write job descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I talk to an entrepreneur and their reaction is, well, I don't want to pin everything down because as soon as I tell somebody to do something different because we're small business, we got to be responsive, their reaction is, well, that's not my job. And my comeback or my response, though, is, well, we write the job description that begins to say we do everything we need to do to take care of the customer, which includes these typical activities.
Right.
So then so we identify what these job activities are, and this helps us to, obviously, number one, find good people, to screen good people, and then once we've put them on the job, it literally gives us a kind of a training outline that we can begin to refer to.
Can we say, would it be safe to say that a job description is the map to training?
It's a good roadmap. That's a good way to kind of make that comparison.
I mean, if you were going to Sheboygan right now from Chicago there, Bill, you may never have been to Sheboygan. Wouldn't you have to stop and get a map?
I would pull out my trusty old map,
yeah,
for sure.
And so if you want your employee to arrive at a destination a year from now, which is an incredible year of success for themselves and for the company, then you need to give them a roadmap, and that roadmap is their job description.
The job description, and the next step on that is identifying some goals and objectives in terms of what they should be accomplishing and how well they should be accomplishing that. So that this
right.
identifies two kind of significant benchmarks that kind of give the person, here's your target to shoot for, here's what you're aiming for, and then they know what direction they're going and what they're supposed to be doing and what's expected of them.
Well, and let me say this, folks. Don't think I'm in, you know, Bill and I are in some ivory tower up here like a professor saying you ought to be doing this, and we don't know the reality of what you're going through. We know that you don't have enough budget for this. We know that you don't have enough time to do it. We know that you don't have a training staff like some of these big companies do. We understand that. We're not saying it's easy. We're just saying you got to figure out how to do it somehow.
That's true. And begin with just a list. I mean, if you're hiring somebody new, you're going to be coming up with some ideas of this is what you want them to do. Put those thoughts in writing, make a list of that. That, in effect, serves as your job description. It also then can serve as the 3 or 4 or 5 or 10-step outline that says, these are the things I want to train this person on. And oftentimes, our training is informal. It's oftentimes on the job. And it's oftentimes by a coworker or by somebody else who previously mm-hmm. did that activity. So that's part of the process. The thing that I'm suggesting is to add an element of structure or organization to it so that you make sure that it happens and you make sure that it happens correctly and properly.
Let's talk about some of these steps here, Bill. Actually, let's identify one because we're going to have to go to a break in about a minute or so. The first one, you talk about identifying the action items and the objectives.
Well, every job has an action item. Something starts the activity. Pin down what that issue that starts the activity and what's the sequence or flow that occurs after that. And that lays out a basis for organizing the job and for training somebody and giving them an idea of here's what you do, this is what starts what you do, and the succeeding steps that follow.
Well said, Bill. Give us your website, please.
Hubbert.com, HUBBART.com.
Check that out, folks. A lot of good stuff there. And we're going to give that out again in a minute and go tell you some more about what's there. When we come back after these messages, we're going to talk about some more training tips you need to be focusing on. And you know what, folks? I do, too. 20 after. Stay with me. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for hanging out with us today. 800-531-3815, toll free coast to coast, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Bill Hubbert is our guest. The name is William S. Hubbert on the books, ladies and gentlemen, but we call him Bill. That's what his mom always called him. And The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy is not a book you want to have on your bookshelf, folks. It's a book you want to have on your desk handy. And also his new book, The Medical Privacy Rule. Bill, that's still a big deal for medical professionals, isn't it?
For medical professionals, and it's also kind of floating its way into the human resources department.
It's always should have been there, but it's just now floating in there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. As it turns out, you can't send somebody out for a drug test or a physical exam or get a doctor's note unless you understand the medical privacy rule. So it touches literally every employer that deals with these kinds of issues.
Absolutely.
So, I would suggest taking a look at information at Hubbert.com. You'll be linked to another website I have, medicalprivacy.info, and a host of resources there that kind of explain what this is all about and give you some tools and tips and techniques and some resources that you can purchase off my site as well.
All right. Sounds good. Check that out when you get a chance, folks. And, Bill, let's talk about some more about these training tips that you've got for us. What's the next one?
Okay. We left a moment ago about the idea of identifying the action item that starts that job. and then follow through with the flow of activities that, that come out of that. And what I recommend is write procedures. Write a, at least a very basic kind of a summary of procedures. Have each one of your employees write a brief procedure about their job so that as they go on vacation or as somebody is promoted or somebody leaves, then you have someone else that can step in and follow those procedures and learn the activity and begin to do the backup work or the follow-up activity for performing that job.
Mm-hmm.
So having those procedures written down is, number one, that's a training activity in and of itself, and number two, it provides a good basis for other individuals to learn.
All right.
Establish some performance standards where you're identifying quality, productivity, accuracy guidelines so that you can have a sense of what's good versus poor work and make sure that that is communicated.
All right.
Here's a good thought. Delegate. Designate somebody as a trainer. If you're the small business and you're supervising every single activity, well, typically there's going to be one or two people in your organization that have been around a little bit longer that were there when you started up. So these people probably know a wider portion of the business and what you're involved with. And as new individuals come on, these would be the person that you could turn to and say, well, give them as much guidance as you can, teach them this, teach them that, and then you can kind of oversee what they're doing and focus on the other areas, that the longer-range things that you need to do. So get several people involved in this training activity, and this is a good way to develop people who can become your supervisors. Can they communicate issues about job issues? Can they communicate job expectations? Can they give some guidance and some instruction? These are the people that you can build into a potential supervisor just by giving them this one activity and seeing how they interact well with others, because being a good supervisor is more about communicating than performing the technical aspects of the work.
Well, and you know, Bill, as you and I have talked about before, one of the reasons why people don't do do any particular thing is because they're intimidated by the process. And if they haven't done it very much, they or at all, then they're not likely to get started, because then it's sort of like, you know, when you get a freight train rolling down the track, it's not that easy to keep it rolling. But just getting it off the getting it moving, is a big deal. And I think sometimes people get the idea that some of these projects is like getting a freight train started.
Well, it is in a way, and I find some of these sometimes big projects are difficult to start. But one of the techniques that I've learned as a consultant is break it up into bite-sized chunks.
Right.
Any big job can be broken into smaller steps.
And give some of those chunks to some other people.
There you go. Delegate.
Yeah. And delegation, you know, Bill, probably if you and I could give a gift to any small business owner who's got an organization, meaning some employees, it would probably be the gift of delegating. Wouldn't you think?
Sounds like a plan to me.
And it's not easy for us to do it, is it?
You feel like you got to stay on top of everything, and yet once things really get going, all of a sudden you're inundated and you really can't do it all.
And you're worried because when you did it perfectly. You're worried that the other people aren't going to do it perfectly. And, Bill, tell them what the key to letting your people learn how to do things perfectly.
Well, they learn by mistakes, unfortunately.
And training.
But you supervise.
And training.
You train them.
Train them to do it, yeah. All right, Bill, we've got time for a couple more.
Well, let's see here. One of the key things is just good communication, good follow-up, monitor. It's a continuing process, and it's not something that you do once and you forget about it. One of the best ways that I find for training is to learn by doing it. Have the individual correct their own mistakes.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of situations where an individual is put on the job, they're making mistakes, other employees kind of step in to fill in and do some of the issues, and they start correcting the mistakes, and, gee, we're too busy to stop and tell him what he did wrong, so we're just going to fix it and do it. Well, then he's going to keep on making that same mistake until we give him a more detailed explanation of here's what you did, here's how you should be doing it, here's how to correct it. I'm going to mark your mistakes. You're going to correct them, so this way you're going to know what to do.
What, four of the smartest words in managing people, Bill, is what did we learn?
Good one. Yeah.
Somebody makes a mistake, what did we learn?
And the
website
and
again, Bill, give it to us one more time.
Hubbard.com, HUBBART.
Two B's and two T's. He's Mr. Excitement. He's Bill Hubbard. He's our good friend. Bill, thank you very much.
Always glad to be here.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.